in your life, would you give Jesus the opportunity by His Spirit om haar berg te verwyder? Would you give Him a chance to do that? Somebody say amen. If there's darkness in your life, a bit of shadow in your life, would you allow the light of the Holy Spirit just to come and bring peace and light there? If there's a lie that you're believing, perhaps somebody told you you're not good enough, you're not worth it. Perhaps the devil's telling you you're not going to make it, there's not going to be enough for this. Perhaps he's accusing you of things that God has forgiven you about a long time ago, and God's actually forgotten those things, the Scripture says. But He's still reminding you and lying to you. Would you let the Holy Spirit bring His truth into that lie this morning? Is that okay, church? If you've built up a wall around yourself because kerk het jou teleergestel and mens het jou teleergestel and the government stel jou teleer, and you've just built up walls, don't let people in, don't let God in. Would you just let the Holy Spirit brick by brick dismantle that wall this morning? Is that okay, church? As we spend time around His Word, let's just pray. It's our privilege, Lord, to get around Your Word. And we know, I'm so mindful, Lord, of the people who daily lose their lives because they're found in possession of one page of a Bible. I'm so reminded of people, Lord God, that memorize Scriptures because there are no Bibles, and they tear pages of the Bible out and they memorize it just to get Your Word. And we have the privilege, oh Lord, we have several Bibles at home and we don't even use them, let alone our electronic versions. And I pray, Lord God, that today is not about reading Your Bible. It's just coming and sitting with You, Jesus, at the table that You've prepared before us, that we can sit and just visit with You as You give us fresh bread and living water this morning. I thank You that there's abundance at Your table. There's no shortage of anything in Your kingdom. And I acknowledge my dependency upon You, Jesus. I've got absolutely nothing to say to my brothers and sisters this morning. But we want to hear from You and echo the words in Your throne room and speak out the words that are in Your heart, Lord. So I submit my thoughts and my speech to Your Lordship today. Would You give to us exactly what we need to hear from You? Nie nog 'n preek nie, 'n boodskap van 'n whatever nie, but 'n boodskap van U af, Here. Daai lewensveranderende woord wat ons lewe kan verander. As ons dit meng met geloof. Would You do that in our hearts this morning? And thank You that You're watching over Your Word to perform it, Lord God. And thank You that it's going to be much fruit. And I just declare over all of us this morning, Lord God, that when we leave this building this morning, as we, Your church, leave this building where we get together, I pray, Lord God, that we will be more in love with You and more like Jesus than before we got together this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. You're looking for something. Your contact lens. Has anybody seen Louis' contact lens? Hallelujah. All right. I'd just like to recap what we spoke about last week. I think we were on sermon 2 of courage. And we spoke about having the courage to keep Your Word. We looked at various principles, how the world is in desperate need of truth, and God is a God of His Word, and His Word is His bond, and we must be people that keep our Word as well. We looked at the fact that how can we share the beauty of a living, real God that we're trying to tell people is true and is real and is alive if we even cannot tell the truth by our words. We looked at the fact that there's no difference between a man or woman that doesn't keep his or her word and a liar, because neither of them can convey the truth. Can you say amen? Those are some of the things we touched on, and I misquoted a scripture. I said it was from Ezekiel 4:15. It's not. If you're meticulous with notes, it's Ezekiel 14:4. It speaks about having an idol in your heart and then going to God and saying, Lord, this is what I want. This is when I want it. This is how I want You to give it to me, and why didn't I have it yesterday, God? We looked at that aspect, just to recap. And this week, we're going to look at also our theme scriptures, 1 Chronicles 28:20. We're speaking about courage. We're going to do so for several weeks, and it's titled, Courage to Face Your Demons. Facing Your Demons. So the question begs to be asked. Robert, I hope you go chase the demons out of the toilets there, my brother. Flush them down the toilet, dude. The question begs to be asked is, wat lach jy? Ek watch hom. Dis die Here ons allemaal watch. Hallelujah. Do you have the courage to face your demons? Last week, something interesting happened in the service here this morning. So we're going to visit that. Is that okay? Now, there's an expression in English that says, you know, do you have the courage to face your demons? And it basically means You know, every one of us has a cross to bear. Every one of us has a little bit of baggage, some more than others. Every one of us has something that we're busy working through, something that we're trying to overcome. And that, daai gesegde in Engels beteken that you're dealing with your issues. Is that okay? Is that right? So the question is, do you have the courage to face your demons? Okay, now I just want to qualify by starting off by saying the following. I am not a ghostbuster. How many of you know what a ghostbuster is? Remember that movie from a couple of years ago? Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? I'm not a ghostbuster. I'm not looking for spooks behind anything and everything. And I don't believe that everything is it's demonized unless it's proved that it's not. However, the truth is there is a very, very, very real spiritual realm. Okay. Three of you believe it. Let me try this side. There's a very, very real spiritual realm. It is more real than the natural. Because that which is unseen is eternal, and that which is seen is passing away. So it's there. Whether you know about it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it, the truth is there's a real spiritual realm. Now I want to start off with the scripture. I love when God challenges us with questions, we ask ourselves the questions, not because He doesn't know the answer. There's a story in the Bible where people try to cast out demons. I'll give you the scripture reference. And needless to say, they got their butts kicked. They got their ass whipped. You see, they were playing church. Plastic Christians. They were religious Christians. Very religious, but no real substance. They heard about Jesus, but were not living for Jesus. Guess what? They believed in Jesus, but they weren't interested at all about living like Jesus. There's a difference, church. How many of you know our churches are full of Christians like that? Ek glo in Jesus. Ek weet van Jesus. Yes, but are you living like Him? So they were ones that had heard about Jesus and know about Jesus and believe in Jesus, just like the demons, and they thought they can tackle some demons. And the demons, het die snot uit geklap. Hulle het 'n pak slag gekry. And the demons sommer turned around and tuned, "Joe, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" How many of you would like to face a demon and says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know"? Now I'm paraphrasing in biker language. Is that okay this morning, church? The demon asks, "Who the hell do you think you are? Are you ready for that?" Peter, I knew that. I was just testing you. I knew that. Are you ready for that? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who the hell are you? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a battle going on for our souls, for our thoughts, for our well-being, for our peace, for our prosperity, for our abundance. Every second of every day, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, that battle is going on all the time. So the question God asks us this morning, are you known in the spiritual realm? I had the privilege of sharing Jesus and His love with hundreds of my friends yesterday. I had a wonderful time. I just love doing that. Were you there yesterday, Wayne? At The Restless? Yeah, it was awesome, eh? 1,005 people through the gate for the Voltrons. Awesome. It was amazing. Just, it's like, come here, it's like, souls, Lord, souls. And I see, there's a thing in biking where guys like to have a reputation. Now, I'm posing here, so bear with me, okay? I've got a reputation. I'm a breaker now. I mess with me. Because Dez and Troy, when they come together, are destroy. They have this like reputation of being like main manna. They're known amongst the bikers. Don't mess with that dude. Oh yeah, he's okay. They're known. Don't mess with that guy. They have a reputation amongst people. God's question is, what reputation do you have in the spiritual realm? Because neither God, nor me, nor demons, nor angels gives two hoots about your reputation amongst men. Some of you are not happy about that. They don't give two hoots about your reputation amongst men. But your reputation in the spiritual realm counts plenty. So the demon says, "Paul, I know, en Jesus aan nou. Maar wie die hel dink jy is jy? This morning. Do you know because you know because you know that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God? And if you're known in the spiritual realm, what are you known for? Shall we open the Word of God a little bit? What are you known for? That portion of Scripture is Acts chapter 19, Handelinge 19 and verse 15. The demon is asking this. So face your demons. Now here's the deal. Questions get asked of by Christians, about Christians, and this whole demons, angels, spiritual realm thing. Consider this. If a person is filled with a person of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be demon-possessed. Hello? Hello? But you most certainly can be oppressed by the devil and demons, and can be harassed by the devil and demons, while you have the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Why do I say that? Because we're agents of our own free will, you can have whatever you want, sir. You can live as close to or as far away from the things of God as you want to, or as close to or as far away from the things of the devil as you want to. So that's why Christians sometimes battle to understand, maar, mosie, ek is weer gebore, ek is geesgevuld, en ek lees en ek bid en so aan, maar hoekom is daar soveel? We sang about the resurrected king is busy resurrecting me. You feel like you're the walking dead. Don't put up your hand now. But you're a born-again Christian that loves Jesus. Have you wondered why? I submit to you that you're under demonic harassment and under demonic oppression. So a better word is to use is that you're demonized. Not demon-possessed, but guess what? Demon-possessed people come to church as well. God has shown us people that have specifically been sent to this fellowship to destroy me and my marriage. Because if you kill a shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Hello? So, bring him on. I'm not a groot bra or a main mac or a big whatever. But here's the deal. You want a piece of me? You got to come through my dad. You want a piece of me? You want some of this? You got to get through the one who lives inside me. And greater is Jesus who's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. So bring it on, Satan. And I'm not saying it in arrogance, because we're not meant to fight demons. You're never meant and created to engage demons, sir. You're created to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we praise God, he fights our battles for us. Can you say amen? When we pray, God sends angels to minister on our behalf. Hebrews 1:14. Ministering spirits to minister on behalf of those who inherit salvation. But when we worship, God pitches up himself. Come on, man. Somebody get excited. When we worship, he pitches up himself. My kids are praising me and you want to touch my child. Come here, so Satan. So what are you known for in the spiritual realm? Is your name written in God's book of life? And your spiritual life, in which realm of activity does it register? Some of you are looking like, Mozzie, please stop preaching. I'm not, I'm just getting started, hallelujah. A person filled with the Holy Spirit cannot be demon-possessed at the same time, but can most certainly be oppressed or rest. If you have a burning desire in your heart to learn more about this, get your blessed assurance in this year's LTS course. The dates have been announced, 15 July to 2nd August. We teach about it in depth. Come on. LTS is Life Training School. Come there, and if you open up your heart to mine, God will change you forever. There's a cry in the heart of the world. The world is desperate for spiritual power and things that are really spiritual. Dis hoekom mense honger en smag na geestelike goed en bonatuurlike goed. Is it nie so nie? Hello? That's why, whether you Generation X or whether you from the hippie area or you're a millennial or whatever you are, there's an increasing desire in people to want to experience the supernatural. Why? Because we're spiritual beings that yearn for that. So that's why people are delving into all sorts of spiritualism and spiritual activities. Here's my encouragement to you. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into all the nonsense that's out there. But this is a maatstaf waar volgens jy kan bepaal dit wat ek doen. Am I setting myself up for trouble or is this okay with God? Are you ready for a church? Don't engage anything to do with the spiritual unless it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. period. I don't care what person is on TV that has a program on Discovery about how they can see things and speak to this one and call this. Stay away from any of that stuff. No matter how good the fruit looks, the root, if it's not in Jesus Christ, stay away from it too. Okay. Are we okay with that? All right. Stay away from anything spiritual unless it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a story in the Bible where God called a man called Saul because the people insisted on wanting a king. They didn't want a kingdom concept. They wanted a king. They wanted. God said, "Oh, do you want a king? I'm going to give you a king, but there's going to be drama. You want a king? Yes, no, we want a king." God gave him a king. Right? That's having an idol in their hearts. Can you see? God didn't want them to have a king. He wanted a relationship with them. "No, we want a king. We want a king." Right? Give you a king. That's King Saul. So God anointed him. God tossed him. God called him. God started using him. And he decided to, long story short, he fell off the bus big time. And he was in a lot of trouble. So he decided to consult a medium. Do you know why Saul consulted a medium? Speak to me, church. Come on. Why did Saul consult a medium? Because there were no lodges available. Hello. Okay, if you didn't get that, just come see me afterwards. But he consulted a medium. Come on, man, laugh. There were no lodges available, so he consulted a medium. A medium is a vessel through which the demonic can manifest. A spiritual medium is a vessel through which familiar spirits can talk through, etc. It's a medium. It's like a fortune teller, a conveyancer. I see that your mom and your dad says, ooh, no, ooh. That's a mean. It's a man or a woman or a child, or even in some cases an animal, that's made himself or herself available for demonic spirits to speak and manifest through them. All the children have been excused, right? So it's all adults here. And this, I'm not being vulgar. You've got to understand the severity of this, church. Are you ready? It's a man or a woman who's made himself or herself to be raped by demons. Spiritually, as olic as they look, that's what's happening. You're saying, "Here I am, violate me at your will." So, there's this guy, a minister called Jesse Duplantis, funny man of God. I just love that man. He shares a story where he. He's growing in the Lord, and he's full of the Spirit, and he's engaging the spiritual, and he sees this demon in the corner of his room. Ruckus. And he gets up. He says, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." And the demon doesn't go anywhere. And the demon just starts saying, "And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." And he starts talking in tongues. "I tie my tie, you tie your tie, we all eat a bow tie, shondai rondai." And he's casting and rebuking, and this demon's going nowhere. Now he's starting to panic. And he's quoting scripture, and nothing's happening. And then he realizes, no, hang on a second, this can't be true. And he realizes it was the shadow of his curtain blowing in the wind in his room. That's what he was seeing. He was so dirty, missing, half geslaap, and that's what was happening. So there's some funny things like that. And then there's the reality of how this can get. The man of God, I don't remember his name, but what's important is that he's known in the spiritual realm. He wakes up. He feels disturbed in his spirit. He's busy dossing lacquer, sound asleep, peacefully. The sweet of the righteous is sleep. The sleep of the righteous is sweet. He's busy dossing, and then he's woken up. And he looks at the end of his bed, and there's Satan personally. Not a demon. Satan personally. Standing at the foot of his bed. And this is literally what he did. You see, because he knew who he is in Christ. I said he knew who he is in Christ. Satan's standing at the foot of his bed, and he's like got his covers over him. He turns around, "Oh, it's you." Turned over and carried on sleeping. So this morning, if you're under demonic harassment or demonic oppression, You're tired of the lies of the enemy. You're tired of physical illnesses. You're tired of depression. You're tired of lack. Lack of any kind is a curse. Lack of any kind is a curse. That's not part of the kingdom. We can learn through times of scarcity. And in times of scarcity, we should not be asking ourselves, what must I do? What must I do? But instead of saying, what must I do? Ask yourself, how must I think? How must I think? Because in times of scarcity, people get forced to do things that they're not otherwise used to doing all the time. You see, in times of scarcity, we're brought to our knees in prayer. One quick little example, and I digress. I want to stay on God's train of thoughts here. After 1911 in America, what's called 1911, eh? 11th of September 2001. After that terrorist attack, the churches started getting fuller than they'd ever been in decades in America. Ewe skielik, nou soek ons vir God se aangesig. So scarcity of any kind is a curse. But we can learn things through times of scarcity. So if you feel that, well, Mozzie, if I listen to what you're saying and what the Spirit of God is saying to my heart this morning, I realize that there's some, you know, there's some demons that are giving me a hard time. You're in the right place this morning. Can you say amen? Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, the scripture says, Jesus says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Who will it follow? Those who believe. These are the signs that will follow those who believe. So if you believe this morning, and these signs don't follow you, you may want to ask yourself, well, why aren't these signs following me? Because toch op die einde van die dag, ek glo ook in Jesus. Ja, so do the demons. The demons also believe in Jesus and they tremble. That's what they're doing with their faith in Jesus. What are you doing about your faith in Jesus? How about this side? What are you doing about your faith in Jesus? Because Jesus says, these are the signs that will follow those who believe in me. Because here's the gist of a church. May God help his body to see the following. The world is stuck behind the lie because of false preachers and secular media and secular humanism. The world is stuck behind a lie that I believe and that's all that counts. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. And the first time a little bit of spiritual drama pitches up in your life, there you got it, Wayne. Splat. Lippertini clipper. Nerf off. But I believe I can fly. What are you doing about your belief? You say you believe in Jesus. Then live like him. Follow him. You say you believe in Jesus. Live like him. And then you'll see what realm you'll be known in. Ja, maar pastoor, ek glo ook. I start speaking to precious people yesterday and they start telling me, ja, maar ek doen die, ek die en daar. Okay. I shared with a precious, precious person I had the privilege of dedicating their baby, and it was like 4 years ago now. And here in front of this congregation, they made promises. They made promises that they're going to raise up the child in the fear and admonition of God through a godly lifestyle. And once I listened to all the stuff they do, I said, okay, and those promises that you made 4 years ago now? And I showed them a little picture that somebody sent to me. It said, it's got a picture of a biker in the background doing burnouts or whatever, and it says, your life is a ministry. People are watching you whether you know it or not. So that would you do. Can you see Jesus doing that? Ja, maar ek glo. Okay, fine. Fine. See, that's the difference. That's what gets your reputation in the spiritual realm. That's what gets your reputation in the spiritual realm, what you are known for. So Jesus says, these are the signs that will follow those who believe in me. In my name, they will cast out demons and they'll speak with new tongues. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Renier, Jy moet my help asseblief. Ek soek so graag electronically the NLT, just the NLT first edition. I think we've only got the second edition. But I want to read this portion of scripture. If you want to study deeply, clap open your New King James, but just for the sake of just reading and understanding this morning, come with me to Galatians chapter 5. I think on the screen will be the second edition. So a word or two might differ what I read here. I want to read this. Now here's the deal. Is everybody okay? Everybody still with me this morning? Anybody fallen asleep yet? Just nudge them in the ribs with your elbow and say, in the name of Jesus, wake up. Hard. Nudge them hard. If their ribs broken, we'll come and lay hands on them and pray for them. Hallelujah. No, don't. Die pastoor het gesê, ek moet jou klap. Okay. Genesis, Exodus, Galatians. Here we go. My Bible is de mekaar, Ellen. All right. So, now, here's the deal. The scripture speaks about power, and it speaks about authority. Everybody say power. No, say it like you mean it. Power. And say authority. Now, to keep this as short as possible, power is like an ability to do something. There's a vermoë om iets fisies te kan doen. Authority is the legal right and permission to do it. Hello? There's a legal right and then also an ability. For example, I might have the legal right to, let's say I was a detective. I have the physical power to arrest somebody by physically coming to them and putting handcuffs on them. That's the physical means. But I have the authority to do it from the government of South Africa to lock you up as jy drooggemaak het. And also if I don't like you. You see the difference between power and authority? Okay, are you with me? You see, my motorcycle has the power to do X amount of kilometers flat out. And I love pushing it to that point. It's lekker. Oh, die dominee jaag. Well, the South African roads are very, very dangerous, and I want to get off as quickly as possible. My motorcycle has the power to do that. Okay? But I don't have the authority to ride like a hooligan just because I can. I've got to take other people's lives into account. Hello? There might be some people on the way to church. Ooh, praise the Here. And take a hooligan. Take my mark. Do you understand the concept, church? So there's power and authority in the spiritual realm. Hello. Right, you got that now. You understand. Now, because of the shortcomings of our limited, what's the word Scott in English? Vocabulary, there's it, I knew that. Our limited vocabulary in English, we sometimes have to use the same words over and over to try and describe Hebrew and Greek words that say a whole lot more. I want to lay that as the foundation before I read this portion of Scripture. So there's power and authority, and we look at the role that these two play. But if you are a born-again child of God, and the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, lives inside you, and you are under demonic oppression or harassment, and we call it demonized, then it is very possible that you are allowing that because of one or several reasons in your life. What I'd like to do now is to look at some of the reasons that why, as a believer, I might be under demonic oppression and harassment. Is that okay? So, you're probably already feeling uncomfortable now in your chairs, and you're going to get to feel more uncomfortable. And I say this in love because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? Is everybody okay? Everybody tired of the discomfort? Whatever. Would you allow him to bring light where there's a shadow? Or to remove a mountain that's in your life? Or to tear down a lie? Is that okay, church? You want to be set free this morning. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse. I'm reading from the NLT. And it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. Here we go. Is that the first edition, Renee? Second edition. Eh? Okay. So this is the first edition. Forgive me if a word or two is different. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Colon. So it tells you, when you follow your own evil desires, this is going to be the results in your life. Are you ready? Sexual immorality. No, it's we have a modern living arrangement. Mozzie, our finances don't allow us to stay apart. Oh, really? Okay. It's your prerogative. Have at it. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts. I battle with this one. I shared a couple of weeks ago, I look at the posters of the political candidates and I sent fire and brimstone, Lord, instead of Lord, may they be granted time to receive you like I was given grace. Impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Now listen, anger's fine. Anger's not of the devil. Psalm 4:4 says, in your anger, do not sin. God has given us the emotion of anger so we can allow righteous indignation to rise up within us and oppose the enemy. But in your anger, do not sin. Psalm 4:4 and says that. And in the Gospel of Mark, there's a time when Jesus got angry. And he got angry because of the hardness of the people's hearts. But there's a bad kind of anger. Where was I? Anger. Selfish ambition. Divisions. The feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. I love it. The feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Verse 21. Envy. Drunkenness.
The Bible says I'm only drunk. Ossifer, take me drunk. I'm home again.
Come on, come on, come on. Drunkenness, wild parties. Now, I like wild parties. I do. I'm being real. You can have a wild party that's lacquer, and then there's wild parties that are not lacquer. Oh, my. Don't look at me with your religious faces. Stop being religious with me, man. Who doesn't like a wild party? No, Mozzie, I'm set free. Okay, all right. All right. I mean, okay. Lord, help us. Where were we? Wild parties. Yeah. Okay, let's have a wild party. My precious daughter's here this morning. And this oh, we have such fond memories. I think one time I thought of Siobhan. I thought, you can put like any word there. And if you put party on the end of it, like she's keen. It's a slumber party, pajama party, pizza party. So, as long as you party. Hey, Chevy, isn't that true, my love? Okay. So here we go. Wild parties and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, and here's the kicker, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. I'm just a messenger. If you want to kill me, I'm cool with that. I'm ready to go, but I'm just relaying the message. So anybody who lives like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if you deliberately, my brother, my sister, are allowing things like that in your life, as a believer, you can be under demonic oppression, under demonic harassment. The devil can be giving you a hard time. Are you on your way to heaven? Probably, if you're really born again. But wouldn't you like to live a life of overcoming the enemy here and now in this realm? Living a life of being able to overcome demonization, harassment, oppression. Wouldn't you like, Romans 1:16 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath my feet. Not Romans 1:16. Romans 16:19. The God of peace will soon crush it. How would you like to, instead of living under the demonic circumstances that the devil dictates for you, how would you like to rise above those circumstances and explain to the devil and his demons and his cronies just who you are in Christ Jesus? If that's you, can I see your hand? Some of you are not interested, okay? Oh well. Only God can change your heart and convince you. I've done my best. I preached my heart out. Have we got time for authority and power? Yeah, here we go. Authority and power. Matthew 28:18 uses the word authority in the New King James. And Acts 1 verse 8 in the New King James uses the word power. In Matthew 28:18 it says, all authority. What kind of authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is the Great Commission. So Jesus saying, And I shared this revelation with the folks in the pre-service prayer meeting this morning, that your leadership level will never grow beyond your capacity to endure pain. Think about it. Some of you are sitting here, and you have desires and aspirations to be a leader. Some of you, God has called as leaders, and you're not interested at all. You're just playing church. I'm just saying. So, your leadership capacity or ability will never grow beyond your ability to endure pain. You see, because Jesus bore the pain and the burden of the sin of mankind, God said, okay, because you've done this, I will give you what kind of authority? All authority. And then he says, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've taught you to observe, and I will be with you even to the end of this age. He's saying, boys, I got this. I've got the power. You know that song? Come on, help me out here. Why is this church so quiet this morning, man? Is this one out that's excited? That song is so lekker, that guitar. I've got the power. I'd love to hear Louis do it. Eh? So Jesus is saying, I've got the power, but I love you so much, I want to give you that power. Now take my power and go and build my kingdom again. That's exciting. I want to be in on that action. I want to be in, I want a piece of that action. So that authority there is the word exousia. All right, it's the Greek word exousia. Don't have to worry about pronouncing it. Just say power, authority. That there is authority. So the authority is there. We have legal right to say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. We have the authority because Jesus has given us that authority. Some of you are looking at me like, yes, it's not just for pastors, dominees, predikante, evangeliste, whatever. It's for everybody that wants it. Okay. And it's also for those who don't want it. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. If you don't want that kind of authority, nobody, least of all God, is going to force it upon you. It's there for you. It's there for you. I remember the first time I practiced this on headaches. If I don't have the faith to get rid of a headache, what am I going to do when a demon comes from my family? Huh? If I don't have the faith to lay my hands on my dog, where am I going to have the faith to, in a public place, go to somebody in a wheelchair and say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk? Hello? Practice somewhere. Start somewhere. Small faith. Thy most at psyche. Start there. Because that authority is yours. I said that authority is yours. So that's this authority that's spoken of over here. And it means, listen to this quickly. This is the different things it can mean in the Greek language. A sense of ability, a privilege, a force, a capacity, a competency, a freedom, a mastery. Concretely speaking, like a magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegated influence, jurisdiction, liberty, right, and strength. All in one Greek word, exousia. Now, here's where it gets real. If there's willful, deliberate, continuous, repetitive sin in my life, that authority that I would have, just like Adam did in the garden, I hand it back over to the devil and his cronies. And then they have all of that authority and power to come and smokkel met my liver. They have the power to come and put their finger in the pie of my life and krap nesele vol. Hello? Some of you are very uncomfortable now. That's the challenge with us. That same authority and power that we have. Say, Mozzie, I'm trying and I'm praying and nothing's happening, okay? If nothing's happening, take stock of your life and see what's going on. Maybe you have given authority to some form of demon or oppressing spirit that the enemy is assigned to come and steal from you as gevolg van jou hardnekkigheid and your compromise. And you're choosing to live, and I'm going to call it the way God calls it. You're choosing to live in sin. And I wonder jy hoekom het rof gaan. In jou gesondheid, in jou finansies, in jou peace, and you're wondering why. Well, maybe that's why. I'm just saying.
I'm putting that out there.
Maybe that's why. You've taken your God-given authority and handed it over to the devils and demons and say, yeah, here I am, because you're compromising. Now, folks, there's many ways of compromising. And sadly, the Church of Jesus Christ, so quick to point fingers at the things that we can easily see. Substance abuse, for example. But what about gossip and slander? That causes division. That's on God's hit list of the six things that He hates. Sowing discord amongst the brethren. Say, Robert, ek wil net bietjie met jou deel wat daai flippen meneer Delport. Flippen's not a swear word, hey? Hey? I don't think so. Ek wil net bietjie met jou kom deel wat daai Steven Delport gedoen het. Kom ons bid daaroor. En dan beskinder ek Steven, ek beledig hom en dan slyt hom to Robert. What am I doing? I'm changing a spiritual idea or concept that Robert has of a fellow brother in Christ and I'm bringing division in his body. Now I'll give you another example. So, I'm called to pray for leaders and people in authority and power, and I say, this Cyril Rama idiot pauser jerk of a man. Who durf da 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 da? And I let them have it. And last week we looked at, be careful about speaking about people in authority. Doesn't mean they're exercising in a godly way. That office has been given to them by God. And you want to blabbermouth them. Okay. Folks, you're opening your life up to demonic moeilikheid. Hoor julle my? You're opening your life up to drama when you do that. Right, that's the introduction. I'm ready to preach this morning's message. Guys, I'm loving this, eh? This is where we are at. So, and then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it's the ascension and Jesus is about to depart and it's like he's a parting message with the people and the angels are there and the people are watching Al-Kadang. It's Pentecost has not yet come, but he's raised from the dead, resurrected, and he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm gonna leave you wanting more this week. We're going to have to. It's you know what, Belinda? It's getting closer and closer to the time when God is giving us the liberty to have a second service. Axless. So many aren't. We rock up at 7 and we only go home when God is done. Sure. Lord Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word your power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. And it means a force, literally or figuratively. Especially with miraculous power. Usually by implication, a miracle in itself. An ability, an abundance, a meaning. Might or mightily, a deed. A work or a worker of miracles. Power, strength, violence. In a good sense. Mighty, wonderful work. That power. And he says, you will receive those things when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And God showed me that there are people here this morning that you are under serious, serious demonic oppression and harassment of a spirit called fear. The spirit of fear. Fear is an acronym, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. You have a fear of, you have a fear of taking up some form of responsibility in this church because you feel you're afraid that you're going to make a mistake. There's people who are scared, spitless of opening up their mouth and sharing Jesus with people. You got the badge. You've signed up. You've done the courses. But you're scared, spitless of being in a situation where you've got to share your faith. I'm going to tell you this morning that God wants to set you free from that. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God wants to set you free so that you can minister in liberty and in power. There's people, you have fear of the future, you have fear of the unknown, you have fear of not being able to make it financially, all sorts of fear. And God wants to set you free from that spirit of fear this morning. Is that okay? And you see, as we close, continue to pray, and I want to share this with you. We can experience this life of victory all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus, not because some preacher has told you so. You see, Jesus, from the uttermost, has gone to the guttermost so that we don't have to live in the guttermost and can live in eternity in the uppermost and the uttermost with God. Jesus is the one who's taken that authority back from the devil, which Adam gave to the devil in the garden. Jesus has taken it back. And for anybody and everybody who cooperates with Jesus, he's willing to give you. Who's got a key on them? Yeah. May I steal a key, man? Whether you like it or not, I've got it. So where? Key is a symbol of authority. When you turn 21, sometimes they give you a key. It's a symbol of, here's the key to life. The scripture says in Revelations that Jesus has taken that key away from the devil. And he's come back to you and he says, I hold the keys now. I, no longer the devil, I hold the keys to sin, death and the grave, life, all of that stuff I now hold. And if you will work with me, my child, I will give you those keys there. And that key, you can take it, there's a remote, press it, whichever car opens, you can take it and you can... Can you see what he had to do to get that key? That key and that authority is here for the taking this morning for you. The question is, will you take it? I want to give the Lord time to minister to us personally. Is that okay? I don't want to ask you. As the deep end comes up and just ministers in the background to determine the atmosphere, because as the sound goes, so the atmosphere goes. As the atmosphere goes, so the battle goes. I want to give an opportunity. If you know that you're under oppression because of fear, please come. I want to pray with you. I'll lay hands on you. And people are going to stand with you and pray with you. I'm going to ask two more times. I'm not going to beg you. If you want to have fear dealt with once and for all in your life, please come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Hallelujah. I'd like the altar workers to get themselves ready. Okay, what happened as the people are coming up? My precious sister, I forget your name. What's your name, Tani?
Ellen.
Ellen.